Let's open our Bibles tonight to the Gospel according to Luke, would you please? Luke chapter number 18, and we'll read this parable together. We're enjoying these studies in the parables and nearing the end of them, and I want to do our very best all the way through. Luke chapter 18, let's start reading, please, in verse number 9, and read down through verse number 14. The Bible says, "And he," of course that's the Lord Jesus Christ, "spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves, that they were righteous and despised others." And then here's the parable beginning in verse number 10. "Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, 'God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week, I give tithes of all that I possess.' And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, 'God, be merciful to me, a sinner.' I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For every one that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted." This is probably one of the shortest parables that we've studied together, but this one's powerful. And the simple title for this week's Sunday school lesson is one word. If you'd like to write it in the margin of your Bible, it's the word mercy. Mercy. And in verse number 13, you may want to underline this statement, "God be merciful to me, a sinner." We hear a lot about the sinner's prayer. What is the sinner's prayer? This is it. This is the sinner's prayer. And this sinner, this publican, crying out to God in the temple, "God be merciful to me, a sinner." Just to give you a little context for this text, go back to verse number 1 of this chapter, chapter 18 and verse 1. The Bible says, "And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint." And then he goes on to give the parable of the unjust judge and a lesson on prayer. So the context of this particular chapter is the matter of prayer. And when you come to verse number 9, he speaks a parable to those who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. And notice what he says in verse 10. "Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican." Watch the wording in verse 11. "The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself." If you want to know something about a person's heart, listen to them pray. Because what they say when they pray reveals their heart attitude toward God and about themselves. And I think all of us are convicted about this. You know, what we pray for and what we say when we pray reveals how truly selfish and self-centered we all really are. And what we all need, every last one of us, is mercy. That's the great emphasis. That's the big idea of this particular parable. Lost men need mercy. Sinners need to receive the mercy of God to go to heaven. The Bible says that it is not by works of righteousness which we've done, but according to His mercy He saved us, by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. The psalmist said it this way, "It's of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed." I tell you this, if I got what I deserved at this moment, I know where I'd be. I'd be in hell. And the only reason I'm not there at this moment is because of God's mercy. Praise the Lord for His mercy. But here's a great application. And you know, on Sunday we'll have folks in our classes who do not know the Lord Jesus as their Savior, who have never heard a clear presentation of the gospel. This is a great lesson to give them, a message on mercy. But this is also a lesson to those of us who do know the Lord. Because somewhere along the lines, it's so easy for us to think it's about us instead of about the Lord. You know, there was a time in our life when we recognized we were lost, hell-deserving sinners, and apart from God, we were all going there for eternity. God saves us. We learn a few things. We start to grow in the Lord, and suddenly we know everything. Now it's not God's mercy, it's our own wisdom. What we can do, our strength. That's not the way the Christian life is lived. It began by faith in Christ. It is lived by faith in Christ. It began by God's mercy. It is lived through God's mercy. And I was thinking this morning, I ought to start every day, every morning when I get up, saying the Lord's mercies are new every morning. That's what the psalmist said. And in the book of Lamentations. And then every night when I go to bed, I ought to say that His mercy endureth forever. And live my life always thinking about the mercy of God. And if this particular lesson does nothing else but remind us all of God's marvelous grace and His mercy in our life and calls us to sing hymns like Amazing Grace with new meaning and new heart, then it'll be well worth it. Let me show you three simple things that Pastor's given us in this lesson material this week about this parable. The first thing you notice in this chapter is the reason why the parable was given. You'll remember that early on in our study of the parables, we determined that every parable was given for one specific truth. There's one big idea in this passage. So what is the reason? It's given to us right up front. Look in verse 9. "And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others." So the Lord has a very specific audience he's targeting here. In other words, there were Pharisees there, and maybe folks who even weren't Pharisees, who thought that because of who they were, what they had done, that they deserved something more than somebody else did. By the way, these two errors always go hand in hand. You might want to mark them in your Bible. The first is trusting in themselves that they were righteous, and the second is despising others. When we start thinking more highly of ourselves than we ought to, then we start thinking lower of others than we ought to. We stop looking every man on the things of others, and suddenly we're the all-important one. And trusting in self sends a man to hell for eternity. You'll notice he trusted himself, and he prayed to himself. And you know, you pray one of two ways. You either pray to God or just talking to yourself. And I have to confess to you, there have been a lot of days in my life that I went through the motions of prayer. I was just talking to me. And, you know, I wasn't reaching heaven because my heart attitude towards the Lord wasn't what it ought to have been. You'll notice something very simple about this parable. There are two men, and this is the way God identifies them. Two men went up to the temple to pray. Now, in that day, you have to understand something about the background of where they're living. If you looked at these two men, you wouldn't even put them in the same sentence, not even the same category, because they were so very different. On one hand, you have a Pharisee, a man who is a religious man. He's a good man, as far as morally speaking. In that day, most Bible scholars believe there are about 3,000 Pharisees. You're talking about a man of the stature of a Nicodemus or a Paul, a Saul. You're talking about a man who knew all the right things, who knew the law and was trying to keep it. And so people respected them. I mean, those were the respectable people. And then you have a publican. Let me tell you who the publicans were. Rome, who is ruling the world at this time and overseeing this holy land, this land of Israel, the Jews didn't want to be under their control. They thought they were still a theocracy and answered only to God and wanted to live by their religious laws. And so what Rome did was Rome got some Jews to sell out to them, basically. They were the appointed officers of Rome. They collected taxes for Rome. They were sellouts. They were traitors. I mean, to the Jewish nation, these people were the lowest of the low. You couldn't go any lower on the totem pole than these publicans were. And if you looked at these two men walking up to the temple to pray, somebody would say, well, there goes a moral man and there goes a sinner. But when God looked down, God saw two sinners. God didn't see them, you know, one better than the other. He just saw two men. And I don't know what this does to you, but as I read and think about this, this humbles me to think that God's view is not man's view. And the way we look at people and the way we esteem people and the way God esteems them oftentimes is very different. As a matter of fact, the man who is despicable in the story ends up being the man who's respectable. And the man who goes up respectable is despicable in God's eyes. God's vantage point is different than our vantage point. What was different about these two men? The answer is very simple. Their heart. Look at the passage again. Mark these words in verse number 11. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, circle himself. God, then notice the next word, I thank thee, that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. I mean, it doesn't take you too long to figure out who he's concentrating on. It's not the Lord. It's himself. He's full of himself. And then this publican starts to pray, standing afar off. I mean, he's so humbled before God, humiliated by his own sin, that he won't even lift up his head and look towards heaven. And he smites his breast and he says, God, please be merciful to me, a sinner. The difference in these two men was one of them was consumed with his own goodness and the other was begging for God's mercy, claiming God's mercy. And that was the reason why this story was given. The Lord Jesus is saying to those who are around, you can't trust yourself. All you can trust is my mercy. The second thing you see about this lesson is you see the redemption. This is so beautiful. I want you to notice what he says. He says, God be, what's the next word? Merciful to me, a sinner. I want you to circle the word merciful. And I want you to write down that this is the verb form of the same word that is used for the mercy seat in the Old Testament. When you looked at that ark, on top of the ark in which the law was, there was a mercy seat. There were two angelic beings that faced each other on either side of this seat. And that was the place that every year the priest would go in and sprinkle blood on the mercy seat on the Day of Atonement to make atonement for the sins of the people. And when you start understanding something about the mercy seat, it makes you understand what this man was actually praying. I mean, what was under the mercy seat? The law was. What was on the mercy seat? The blood was. And literally what this man said when he said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner, here's what he actually said. He said, God, the mercy seat for me. The mercy seat for me. In other words, the Lord Jesus Christ himself actually became my mercy seat. And the innocent blood of the Lord Jesus Christ is sprinkled on the mercy seat and overrides the law. Now, the law brings me to the knowledge of my sin and that I need God, but through the law, I can't be justified. I can't be redeemed. Only through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is the redemption plan that God instituted and the redemptive message of this parable. Then the third thing you see is the result. And I want you to notice that this story has a surprise ending. It does not end like all the hearers think it's going to end. The Pharisee goes into the temple a sinner and he comes out a sinner. The publican goes in a sinner and comes out justified. What happened when they were inside? It's very simple. The Pharisee, full of himself, did not depend on the mercy of God. And the publican said, "All I have to claim is the mercy of the Lord Jesus. All I have to plead is the blood. It's the mercy seat for me." And I'm going to tell you, that's exactly how every man, woman, boy, and girl gets saved. By coming to the end of self and realizing it's all Christ. Not that we're sufficient of ourselves to think anything of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. Notice the memory verse this week. Write it down. Acts chapter 13, verse number 39. The Bible says, "And by him all that believe are justified," I like this phrase, "from all things, from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses." Now notice the wording in verse number 14. "I tell you," Jesus says, "this man, the publican, went down to his house justified." Justified doesn't mean just as if he had never sinned. It means just as if he had never even been a sinner. In other words, this man's standing in God's sight completely changed. When God saw this man, he didn't see him like a publican. He didn't even see him as a sinner. Not a sinner, not the lowest of the sinner. He saw him as his own dear son. As a five-year-old boy, the day I prayed and trusted the mercy seat for me, it was the Lord Jesus Christ and his blood. At that moment and from that day forward, the rest of my life, when God sees me, he does not see me as a sinner. He sees me as his own dear son. All he can see is the blood. All he can see is the mercy seat. And I don't know about you, that excites me. I am saved. My position, my standing in Christ has completely changed. I've been justified. And here's a good way to end this lesson. Turn to the book of Romans for just a moment, chapter number 3. And in the reading material, you'll notice that a great deal is made out of this passage. Romans chapter 3 is often used to talk about the fact that all of us are sinners, and it should be used for that, and to make men realize that we're without God and without hope. But notice, please, what the Bible says, beginning in verse number 13. "Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they've used deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. There's no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin." And I want you to write in the margin of your Bible next to these verses, here's the Pharisee. Here's the Pharisee keeping the law, doing everything he knew to do, but he still wasn't justified in the end. In the end, he was just a sinner. But now read on. Look at the rest of the story, verse 21. "But now, the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." And now notice, please, the key word in verse 24. "Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, at this time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus." And next to these verses, I want you to write the publican. The Pharisee's consumed with his righteousness, but the publican was consumed with the righteousness of God. And that's what mercy is all about. And notice, please, the word in verse number 25, propitiation. It is the very same word, the same root word for the word mercy seat. It's the same message that you read in our parable for this week. It's all about the mercy seat. And now one last thing. Look at the closing phrase of verse number 26. The Bible says that God is the just and the justifier. How can you be the just and the justifier? God, who is just, says we're sinners. But God, who is the justifier, sent his only begotten Son to bleed and die on the cross for our sins. And I want to say, praise God, he's not just the just, he is the justifier. This is what mercy is all about. And may the Lord help us. Restore unto us, Lord, the joy of thy salvation. When we think about what a wonderful thing it is to be a recipient, have experienced God's wonder.